It is going to be the busiest and most uncertain offseason in years for your Cleveland Browns football team. From organizational moves to free agency, the NFL draft.
Even stadium stuff?
Yes.
I see Chris Ronayne up on TV. And they're showing images of the stadium. I don't know what he's saying. It's on mute.
And some injury setbacks that are somewhat skeptical.
It might pave the way for a...
I was wondering, what could that possibly clip. Be?
Browns that comeback.
Pave the way for comeback.
That's still a good
clip. They're right beside each other.
Still good clips.
Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin, they'll be right next to each other where they do their podcast. Always game day in Cleveland. Subscribe to the podcast now, 923thefan.com. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, and that's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution.
Outstanding as always. Outstanding. I'm going to do the Browns draft rumor tracker coming up here momentarily. Momentarily.
Get it going.
But damn it, there's questions about the Cavs and there's concerns about the Cavs. I don't think the Cavs are being disrespected. I just don't. I think there's like a general malaise in the NBA. Will hand checking bring it back? Will fist fighting bring it back? Do we need to have another Malice in the Palace?
I do like a good fist fight.
Everybody's upset that there's a bunch of threes. Okay, and we're one of the teams that can hit a bunch of threes, so I don't really care.
Yeah,
it's not my
problem. We're shooting 40% from three. Not our best player, not our best shooter. The entire team is shooting 40% from three. They're playing, as Jared Allen has coined it, ethical basketball.
It's not the Cavs' fault. Ethical basketball is a hell of a way to put it. 216-474-0092. Josh and Berea, real quick, go.
I'm glad they're being, disrespected and wearing that chip.
You think they're disrespected? You think they're being disrespected?
Yeah, of course.
I really don't.
Look how they're look how the national media is talking about them. It's still like this wait and see. Like, we're not taking them serious. They don't really talk about OKC this much. They really are just talking about the drama. And that is what has been the problem with the NBA the last, 6-7 years. All they really care about, even the pundits who are dogging the game, they rather talk about, the drama. Oh, what's going on with Kevin Durant? What's going on with Joel Embiid? What's going on with this, that, and the
drama is fun to talk about, Josh. You do know that. I mean, if we didn't have a dog in the fight, the drama is fun.
Yeah, but what's also exciting, if you're a basketball junkie like myself, is just seeing teams like OKC, seeing teams like the Cavs, who literally stayed pat, drafted guys, developed young talent, watched their team go through the growing pains, and now look at them. The OKC and the Cavs are both on pace to win 70 games. Teams that have done what they are doing have, 6 out of the 10 teams that have done what they've done have gone and won NBA championships, okay? This isn't like a fluke. One of these guys are going to be the winners. We should be excited about this matchup instead of talking about are we disrespected.
You think Boston's out of it? You don't think they're winning it?
I don't think they're out of it because they're always going to be those teams that are seasoned veteran teams that, hey, we're going to wait till the postseason. Like, hey, Boston's been in how many Eastern Conference championships? They've gone to 2 finals in the last years?
Honestly, all I'm hearing is the same thing any responsible pundit is saying. Now, I can't help it if some goofball's saying whatever, but what you're saying is responsible that I've heard.
All they're doing is just saying the game is boring. All they're saying is the game is boring, but when you watch OKC and the Cavs, yes, can they shoot threes? Absolutely, they can shoot
we're
threes.
Not
they don't
boring.
Only beat you by the threes.
But, I agree.
Well, there's been nights where we have shot terrible from the three and still won the game.
But you wouldn't consider it disrespectful if I said the Cavs are doing really well. They're 31-4, but we have to see them get past Boston. That's not being disrespectful. That's just being honest. I think they would feel the same way.
But to not even consider them as contenders when all the empirical evidence that's out there that shows
they're contenders.
What they are doing.
Yes.
They're contenders.
They're contenders.
They're legitimate contenders.
Yes.
So that's where I'm like, I'm glad they're good. Let us be under the radar. Let OKC be under the radar.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. It sounds like you don't want to be under the radar.
Well, you just called to complain about being under the radar. So you don't want to be under the radar,
Josh. I'm okay with being under the radar. I just hate the term that the NBA is complete trash from these old pundits like Charles Barkley and Shaq and all these guys who just want to talk about their era.
Well,
but God, just put on a YouTube video of that era. There's dudes that literally leaving dudes open at 18 feet up because they got Hodges or whoever. The heck out there shooting bricks and all this crap.
I didn't play these games, obviously. Josh, thank you very much for the call. I'm fighting this myself. I don't want to be the guy who turns 50 and all of a sudden every level of sport that's after me turns into trash. It's like, well, yeah, if you wanted the old headhunting Steve Atwater days, Maybe they shouldn't have had a $1 billion lawsuit. If you wanted the old hand-checking days, maybe they can bring that back. I'm not sure.
But. I do think that when Golden State started shooting threes to the level that they did, and Steph was shooting so many threes, they played a different style than everybody else. Then they did the small ball thing, playing a different style than everybody else. Wait, you don't even need a center on the court, and you're winning a championship?
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward all these years later, I mean, a full decade later, all the top teams are shooting all the threes. And then even bad teams like the Hornets, they're like, well, we have no shot, so we're going to shoot 50 threes in any given game. I do think that has become unappetizing. There's not, even though you and I are watching the Cavs, they look like an all-time perfect team the way they're playing basketball right now. I think people are just not interested in watching 40 to 50 threes go up a night, even if you're good at it.
All right, I can give Michael 60 seconds. I got to get to this rumor tracker here, but Michael, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I listen to you guys every morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, I just wanted to say, I think it's just a much simpler answer than digging deeper as you guys do, which, you know, is great to hear it. But, you know, I think, as far as the streaming goes, it's just getting outrageous. I mean, just to be able to buy these packages, I mean, it's my electric and my utility, my heat goes double, you know, from what it was the past couple of years.
Damn, Michael,
and I got to make a decision whether, you know, I'm going to be able to watch.
Somebody else brought this up to me yesterday. I wish I could give you more time because I got to get this fit in before Rodney joins us. And thank you very much for the call and the kind words, Michael. Somebody brought it up yesterday going, well, I'm glad the game's on ESPN on Wednesday because I get to watch. Because eventually the streaming services are going to have to bottleneck. You're going to get probably something that resembles cable sooner than you think. Because if you have umpteen streaming services like we all do, it's all going to add up.
Well, I picked it up. I'm doing the Cavs streaming now.
Yeah.
It's two less drinks at the bar a month.
And you know what? That, depending on which bar you're at, takes a hit on you. It takes its toll.
Sometimes it's only one.
All right, you ready for version 1.0?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Browns 2025 Draft Leads Tracker. Back and better than ever. We start on December 20th, where Myles Garrett says he's not interested in a rebuild and wants to see a plan for winning now, courtesy of his press conference. December 21st, I woke up at 5 a.m. to see a video of Anthony Bourdain making beef bourguignon. I'm not sure it's a French word for beef stew. And later, Adam Schefter reports Kirk Cousins will be cut by Atlanta, courtesy Schefter. On January 2nd, 2025, Charles Robinson tweets to the Browns fan that there are still people in the building that want to try salvaging Watson, but with a plan B. That's courtesy of Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. On January 3rd, hold off on that audio for a second, Diana Russini, quote, the Browns are drafting a quarterback, The Athletic. On January 4th, Laura Rutledge reports the Browns will involve Myles Garrett in offseason decisions,
Laura,
courtesy ESPN. January 6th, Browns general manager Andrew Berry states that Watson suffered a setback in his Achilles injury in a rehab process, courtesy of press conference. January 6th. James Palmer suggests the idea Aaron Rodgers coming to Cleveland in 2025, courtesy of the Zach Gelb Show. And as of this morning, Matt on Twitter, this is from the Scoops podcast from The Athletic, Diana Russini said this.
Now, I can tell you that they have always planned on going for a quarterback in the upcoming draft. That's something that they've been focused on.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And adding a quarterback to that quarterback room is all part of the Cleveland Browns' plans.
Am I right or am I right? Thank you very much.
Did she say number 2 overall?
Damn it. Fine.
No, I... But they have
fine. Get your Jackson Dart and waste our time.
They have the first pick in the second round.
Go ahead. Great. Get your Jackson Dart. Get your Jalen Milroe and waste our time. That's the first installment of the Browns Draft Rumor Tracker.